Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. No. Look. It's still saying waiting for host to call in. Yes. I did it twice. Okay. Hello, Mr. Stanley.
Hello. Are we live on the air yet?
Yes, sir.
Am I on the air or am I just
yes,
talking to you? Oh,
you're
okay.
On the air.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Stanley Speaks Out. My name is Stanley. I will be your host for the next hour or so. Today we have a few guest speakers. Are the guest speakers on the air? Ms. Estridge?
Yes, sir.
Are the guest speakers on the air?
Yes, sir.
All three or just two or one?
We have Brother Parker.
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
Brother Parker, did you have a guest?
Did I have a what?
You had a guest that was going to...
Let me try to contact her.
Oh, okay. Has Minister Eli called in yet?
No,
Ms.
sir, not yet.
Okay. You the big reaction to the answers, but thank you for taking the time out to produce the show while I'm fussing, huh? But anyway, today we got an interesting topic. We're going to go ahead and have the race discussion, the racial tension in America and the moral equivalency of it. So we have some ministers lined up to discuss the different issues, but they haven't called in yet.
I believe we have Mr. Eli on the line.
Can you pull him up?
Okay.
Yeah, can you
Mr.
hear me?
Mr. Eli?
Yes.
How you doing, Mr. Eli?
I'm doing great. I wish I could say the same for the world. The world is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yes, I have. I know we had a discussion about how we were going to do it tonight.
Okay.
But we're just going to go ahead and, instead of having a debate, we'll just have a discussion about some of the racial tensions and some of the things that I spoke with you earlier is about how certain groups are dividing the different races to go against each other. So if you want to go ahead and enlighten us on that.
Well, right. First of all, let me... tell people that I'm a Christian identity pastor, And I have a local congregation in Chicago, and I do two talk shows every weekend, and they're dedicated to the proposition that the Caucasian people are, in fact, the Israel of the Bible, and that the Jews are imposters who have been pretending to be Israel for the last 2,500 years. Actually 2,500 years, okay? And by their own admission, the Jewish people, when you read their writings, as opposed to their public statements, the 90 to 95% of modern Jews are, in fact, descended from the Ashkenazi Khazars, which do not have a single drop of Shemitic blood in their veins whatsoever. They converted to Judaism, which is not the religion of Moses either, right? We're talking about a major, major deception going on in the world today, and it's called Judaism. And what they've been doing, they've been pretending to be Israel, claiming and thereby claiming rights to the Palestinian nation, right, which they actually have no right to whatsoever, and lording it over them, actually oppressing those people. And by pretending to be Israel, they have fooled the entire Christian world into believing that they are Israel when they, in fact, are Edom. Okay? And the basic problem of modern Christianity is that it does not acknowledge the existence of Edom and the Edomites. Now, you can just interject at any point if you have a question here. But going
okay.
back to the days of Christ, what actually happened was Herod, who was not of the tribe of Judah at all, Herod was an Edomite. And about 100 years before 0 BC, okay, around 100 years before the birth of Christ, the king of Judah at that time was John Hyrcanus. And John Hyrcanus had a war against the nation of Idumea. Idumea is simply Greek for Edom. Okay, the Edomites are the descendants of Esau. Esau was the one who rejected his birthright and hated Jacob, right? And then he married into the people of the Canaanites, and it was those Canaanites that Israel were blood enemies of throughout history. In fact, they're even our enemies today. But for some reason, Christians have forgotten that there's this hatred, and Yahweh predicted there would be a hatred between these two groups of people, okay? So what happened was, mm-hmm. after John Hyrcanus defeated the Edomites, he made a treaty with them, and he began to circumcise these Edomites, which the Bible forbids him to do, because the Israelites were forbidden to engage in treaties with any other people. It's clearly stated in Deuteronomy chapter 7, make no covenants with these Canaanites. So John Hyrcanus disobeyed the law. He made a covenant with these Canaanites. And what happened was they eventually infiltrated the government. And in the days of Herod, he actually assassinated John Hyrcanus' son, thereby taking over the throne of Judah. Now, this is history that is not taught at all in the Christian world. Yet, if you don't understand that the Israelite nation was usurped, I mean, it was a coup. You know, if some foreigner comes in and takes over your country, that's an important thing, right? But the entire
right.
Christian world does not understand this. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
how does this tie in into what's going on?
Okay, well, how it ties in today is those Edomites began a group of priests called the Pharisees. Those are the same Pharisees that Jesus Christ condemned over and over and over again. There's not a page in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, where Jesus Christ does not condemn these people. Now, the Jewish Encyclopedia admits that Judaism, as it is practiced today, is the direct, exactly the same religion that was practiced by the Pharisees in the days of Christ. So, if these Pharisees are practicing a different religion that Jesus Christ himself condemned, but today they claim to be his brothers, and they are not, Revelation 2:9, those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 3:9 says the exact same thing, and Revelation 12:9 tells us that the whole world will be deceived by the Antichrist. Okay? So, here's the deal. The whole modern Christian world has been deceived by this group of people who call themselves Jews and claim that a Jew is the same as an Israelite, and that's not true.
Well,
that's a lie.
How have we in America been deceived, though?
Well, aren't we supporting the Israeli state without any question? Okay, they claim to be Israel, right?
Well,
we're
supporting them because other groups just want to kill them.
Well,
that's why we're supporting them.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. That's just another Jewish lie. The fact is, the Jews are the richest demographic on the planet. You know, they're the world's international bankers. They have all the money, and they can hire mercenaries. What's actually going on in Palestine? You know, all you hear in the news is, although it's not happening anymore, Palestinians strapping bombs to themselves and blowing themselves up right in Israeli territory. But as I just said, these Jews are not even Israelites, so they have no right to that territory. They are occupiers. They are a military occupation.
Hold on. Let's say they don't have any right to that territory. That
right.
Still doesn't give the Palestinian people the right to come in and attack them. Let's say they're there and we're so-called wanting to keep the peace.
Right.
Then why don't the surrounding nations just give the Palestinian land and keep the peace?
Well, that's a good question. Why don't they? These other nations don't want to give their territory away, right? Let's turn the tables. Let's say we're talking about Africa. Let's say it's Nigeria, okay? And some foreign power comes in and takes over Nigeria and starts ejecting the Nigerian citizens. And this foreign power claims to be, well, we're the real Nigerians. You people who've been living here for the last 2,000 years, you're not the real Nigerians. We are. Get lost, and if you don't get lost, we'll kill you. That is Zionism. The Zionists, they own all the media. The Jews own the New York Times, the Washington Post, they own Hollywood. Have been feeding us their lies for the last 2,000 years, and they have totally taken control of our media, our government, our educational system, and our religion. By claiming to be Israel, which they are not, they have deceived the whole world. So my question back to you then is, should we support a bunch of deceivers?
We shouldn't support destruction of any race, and you have to look at how did Israel get that land. Obviously, they didn't go in and take it. They was promised to it, and from what I gather, the United Nations got together and decided to send the Israel there. But how does that tie into what you're talking about?
Well, what I'm telling you is
How do the Jews tie into dividing the different races against each other here in America?
Who do you think is arranging all these wars between nations today? It's the House of Rothschild banking family, who are Jews, who created the Federal Reserve banking system, which has bankrupted America. It's an illegal, unconstitutional bank. It's a private corporation. It's not part of the government. You see, because they control the educational system, and because they control religion, information, education, and even to some extent science, even to some extent they control that. They simply create lies, believable lies, for us to follow, But it, in fact, like I said, that by their own admission, if you read their own writings, which they write among themselves, like in their encyclopedias, in their Talmud, and in Jews-only publications that they don't publish to the non-Jewish world, they admit, for example, the Jewish Encyclopedia says, Edom is in Jewry. They admit that they're Edomites, not Israelites. But to the Christian world and to the non-Jewish world, they pretend to be Israel. And because of this great deception, this great pretense, they have decided, and this is the Rothschilds back in around 1899, when the Zionists had a conference, they decided, well, we're going to claim to be Israel, and we're going to take Palestine. Okay? Now, this is a nation they have absolutely no right to.
Now, you're saying
we
Israel
should not be
took
supporting.
Palestine.
Pardon?
Are you saying Israel took Palestine?
Absolutely. No, not, they're not Israel.
Jews. Are you familiar with Glenn Beck?
Sure.
Okay, he gave a brief, for lack of a better word, a brief lesson on how Israel, you know, came to have the land that they received. Did you see it on TV?
Well, I know that Glenn Beck has had a lot of problem with rabbis lately because he's been talking about Nazis or something, but. Glenn Beck, you have to understand that all of the major television networks are owned by Zionist Jews. And so anybody who has a show that criticizes Zionist Jews is going to get fired. And that's the position that Glenn Beck is in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
You see? Now, we have been trained... We have been brainwashed to equate the word Jew with the word Israel, and it's absolutely not true. For example, are you a pastor or a Bible researcher? What is your standing, sir?
By the way,
I didn't get your name. I didn't hear it.
Oh, my name is Stanley. I'm the host of the show Stanley Speaks Out.
Oh, you're Stanley.
And on the line we have Minister Parker and Minister Estridge. Those are the other two ministers.
Yeah, okay.
And
okay.
I'm listening.
Yes, okay. And so, you know, what we have here is the greatest deception in the history of the world, which was prophesied by Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which states that just before the second coming, the world would be subject to a great apostasy and a great delusion. And that delusion is precisely the fact that we... The people of the whole world, of the non-Jewish world, believe that those Edomites are in fact Israelites, and they are not. They have been pulling the wool over the eyes of every citizen on the planet, pretending to be something they're not. At the same time, their true religion is not the religion of Moses. Their true religion is the Talmud. And in their own Talmud, they state that the opinions of the rabbis supersede the laws of Moses. This is forbidden. Deuteronomy 4:2 clearly states that you shall not change one word of the law that I have written down. You shall not add to it. You shall not subtract from it. But that's all that the rabbis of Judaism ever do, is they add to it and they subtract from it according to their whim. Judaism is actually the religion of the devil. It's not the religion of Moses. Okay?
Okay, Minister Parker?
Yes.
Yes.
Minister, hey, how you doing?
Fine, how you doing, Doc?
Have you been listening in on pretty much?
Yes, I've been listening in.
Do you have any comments or you just want to continue listening?
Well, I have a question first. I want to know what Bible has the minister been studying?
Well, I have several. I use the King James primarily because it's related to the various concordances, okay? But, you know, I use the New International Version. I use the Farrar Fenton. I use the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, okay, because there are some translations in the King James that are suspect, and because King James had an agenda too, right? In fact, this is this month is the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible, okay?
But,
yeah, and I wrote an article about it demonstrating the agenda that King James had, and namely the agenda was to fight against the Congregationalists. The Congregationalists were British, Englishmen, who had, they were using the Geneva Bible. But what King James really objected to was the fact that they were not Anglicans. They rejected the Anglican clergy. And instead what they did was they had their own congregations, and from their own congregations they selected their own ministers, and they simply rejected the Anglican church altogether. Okay? And so King James, his agenda was to try to force these Congregationalists to accept the Anglican church. Okay? In the same way that the Roman Catholic Church forced itself on the citizens of mainland Europe, the Anglican Church was trying to force itself on Englishmen, okay? But the Congregationalists rejected the Anglican Church, and in fact, these Congregationalists founded the Presbyterian Church, and I'm trying to think of some of the other denominations they founded, but there's even a denomination called the Congregationalists. Oh, yeah, the Puritans. The Puritans, the Presbyterians, the Pilgrims, and the Congregationalists all had their own pastors and ministers who were not part of the Anglican Church, and they wanted to keep it that way, okay? But the Anglican Church tried to force itself upon these other congregations, and many of these congregations thereby left for America. And the Bible they brought with them was the Geneva Bible, not the King James Bible. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. So this is, and it gets into the concept of the separation of church and state, because even in the Bible, I forget who, one of the kings of Israel, might have been one of the kings of Judah, went into the temple and started sacrificing, and the priests objected, "Hey, that's not your job. That's our job. You're the king. You're not supposed to be practicing the religious rituals," and there was a great strife between that king and the priests at that time. So even in the Old Testament, we do have separation of church and state, but that does not mean that the king should not follow God's laws.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people misunderstand that. And the fact is, our U.S. Constitution does not say separation of church and state. That language is not contained in our Constitution. We're being deceived. What the Constitution really says is Congress shall make no law with respect to the religion or the free exercise thereof. In other words, the government's supposed to stay out of our religious business.
Period. Yes.
Period. Yes.
That's,
period.
That's
thank
correct.
You.
That's correct.
That's right.
Period. That's exactly what the Constitution says.
Yeah. So why are the religious denominations of our day not pointing this out to their congregations, that the government is deceiving us by pretending that the language says separation of church and state? It doesn't say that.
It right. In my opinion, their lies
right,
the whole problem. You know, their lies. But Minister Keith, are you on the line listening?
Mr.
Keith? Brother Parker? Yeah, Minister
I'm
Keith.
Here. I'm here. I just want to hear. You there? I
oh, okay. Oh, okay, Brother Parker, did you have any comments or did he answer your question?
Yes, I have comments. I just had a discussion similar to what the minister here been talking about, and I'm just wondering how they can put this kind of foolishness out here on the earth. We're in the last days, and perilous times, Paul says, perilous times are here, and you got
folks
teaching about anything and everything. Now, when you go to the book of Genesis, take your Bible, if you're going to teach some foolishness like that, take your Bible, tear it up and throw it away, and teach what you feel is right, not what the Bible says. You go to the Bible, you only have one race that was on this earth. Adam and Eve were created from the dust of the earth. Adam and Eve sinned. They had Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel. And Abel went on and lived. And then later on, Noah came on. And then Noah was raped by one of his boys and sent down to what is known as Africa today. Black people are the original people on this earth. Ooh, wait. I wish you would have
okay.
that. You went over right. there and got over there, and you went to Nigeria. Good move, Doc. Nigeria. Then, but you didn't want to talk about the Ethiopians, who are the original Jews. And you know
well,
who did that?
Okay.
President
yeah.
Carter. President
yeah.
Carter went to Ethiopia and brought some original Jews to Israel. That's right.
Okay.
And
yeah,
listen,
the,
you talk about white people? Let me talk now.
The black Hebrews, right.
Let
yeah.
me talk, please. I didn't come to argue.
Me,
I listened
yeah,
to
no,
you.
I'm just.
I don't mean
I'm not interrupting.
Let me finish. Let me finish. I listened to you patiently.
Right.
Now you go. You look at those Israeli people over there. You got to understand one thing. When you got to talking about white, understand this one thing. And this is why the Muslims and everybody is so upset. They teach the history. When you study history, you'll find out why are white people actually. We call them white. Because we were called that word in the olden days, and white was to mean that purity, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
the white man, he was the lepers back in the biblical days. They were out on the Isle of Patmos and other islands, and they were separated from us. Now, you know, us black folk, we're going to help our people. We helped them. They got off those islands with that leprosy, and they went to the Caucasus Mountains, which is above Russia today. Caucasus Mountains. That's why when we tell white folk that they are Caucasians, they look at you funny because that's where they came from. When I tell you I'm an African, you know where I came from. If someone tell you they're European,
right.
you know where Australian, you name it, that's where they came
mm-hmm.
from. But the Caucasian came from the Caucasus Mountains. They cohabitated
right.
with the beast. The last black ape was killed in white ape, brother. The last white ape was killed in 1981 in the Black Forest of Germany. Now, the white people, we call them, or the Caucasians, were masterful. They successfully married into every race on earth. Some of those places that we go and visit, there are certain towns, like if you go to Japan, there are certain towns. Go to Nigeria, there are certain places. You go to certain, where they go, where the people are much lighter. They have successfully intermarried in because black is what the world is about. He was the original man. Adam was made from red dirt. Adam comes from a Hebrew word meaning rustic. Red dirt. So he
ruddy,
came
yes.
from the same dirt. Now, you can only get blacker, but when leprosy came, Doctor, that's where the problem came. And Caucasians successfully married into all the races. And if you go to Japan or you go to Korea or you go somewhere, you see some real light Koreans when you get to the cities that Americans got a lot of money invested in. But you go up into the mountains of Japan, the mountains of Korea, the mountains of China. You go up there and you find black, white, the black Chinese. The original man is black, the Jew. Now, don't put the Jews down. And I'm one who, look, I studied with the Jews. A good friend of mine is Rabbi David Ben-Ami. We are a Judeo-Christian society. Now, there's an Orthodox Jew and there is an unorthodox Jew. But the original Jew is back in Ethiopia or Ethiopia. That's the original Jew that you're talking
okay.
about. And there's nothing. And look here, when you
all
say
right.
Jew, I hate to use the word Jew because they were really the tribe of Yehuda. But they were so successful and God blessed them so the rest of the tribes would say, look at Yehuda, look at Yehuda. Then they start cutting short the Jew. That word did not really originate in the Bible as such. It was the tribe of Yehuda. And we start calling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now what you're teaching, Doc, is some bad doctrine.
That
stuff is sick.
Can I respond to what you just said? Because you gave me your theology, and I told you about what I think about the Jews.
I didn't give you my theology.
Well, okay. First of all, the word Adam, which is Hebrew for Adam, means to show blood in the face. It does not mean red dirt. If you check your Strong's Concordance, go into number 119, Adam, and read me the definition. Okay? It does not say red dirt. It says to show blood in the face. Only white people show blood in the face. The entire Bible in Genesis 5:2.
You're going to go invent something as we talk.
I'm not inventing anything. I just heard your invention.
Hey, you tell me one at a time.
Okay.
You tell me this.
I asked you to go to Strong's Concordance and read me the definition. So if you would kindly do that.
Don't come up with that foolishness.
Hey, the Greek and the Hebrew words have definitions. And those definitions are contained in the concordances. You gave me your black Hebrew theory, which I disagree with. And if you actually go talking about Caucasian people, if you check the history of Solomon and the breakup of the 12 tribes into two houses, the northern 10 tribes of Israel and the southern 2 of Judah and Benjamin, we find that in the year 745 B.C., the 10 northern tribes were taken captive. This is right in the Bible, sir. The 10 northern tribes were taken captive and placed in Medea, just south of the Caucasus Mountains. Then they migrated north over the Caucasus Mountains into a country called Arsareth. They still have their Hebrew inscription graves placed in those areas, in the Crimea and other places around there. Those people were Israelites. Those people were my ancestors. They were white.
No, they weren't.
They were.
Listen, Doc. When you come up with this foolishness, you're going to go put that in the face of red. He was created from this red, rustic red. You ever saw red, mud, and clay? You can't get no white person out of that. Talking about their blood in their face. Man, cut that line out. Ooh, hey, you are deceiving folks. You cannot justify the fact they're not your people. You probably got more black blood in you than some of the really, really black people. You probably got a lot of black blood in you. That, you know, when you brought us over here as slaves, the slave masters cohabitated with the black women. The colleges that were first started in America was for the half-white kids. The black, and we turned them into black colleges, and all colors could go. Look, don't try to hide it. White folk masterfully. When they came, they were those five wicked tribes coming down out of north near those mountains up there. Okay? So you got to understand one thing. Don't try to sell that stuff to us. The original man was black, and he still is. And if you look at all the world, I've been around the world, and as I look to go and find the original people. And they are black. The only white man, when Moses told God to stick his hand inside his robe and pull it out, Moses pulled it out, it was white. And then he told him to stick it back in and pull it out. And he turned back to something other than white. That's how we know.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. All right, super. Hey, Brother Keith, do you have anything to comment on or any questions you want to ask?
Hello?
Brother Keith, do you have any questions that you wanted to ask or any comments?
Hello?
Yes. Brother Keith?
Can y'all hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, okay.
No, actually, I just got back home, so I missed a lot of the discussion. So I'm going to listen a little while longer. I'm going to stay home, but I'm just going to listen.
Okay.
A question I did have, and I don't know if it was asked, so y'all forgive me if it was. I heard the other gentleman talking about the different Bibles and the congregationalism and all of these different things, and I know this ain't the gospel hotline, but I'm really not understanding all of that when, you know, all of them were denominationals and none of them were right. So what's the big deal about all of that?
Minister Eli?
400th anniversary of the King James. I was just pointing out that King James had a political agenda in having the King James published, retranslated, okay? And the major disagreement among the Englishmen of the time who were following the Geneva Bible was they would not accept the Anglican Church. They had their own ministers, they had their own congregations, and they did not want the Anglican Church forced upon them, okay? And this is basically the same dispute that our founding fathers had.
Sir. Hold on, sir.
Yes.
Okay, before you go any further, because I don't know nothing about no Anglican church and all of these different churches and all of that stuff. Only one I know I'm familiar with is the one the Bible speaks of. Now, I also heard you say something about they didn't want to follow the religion of Moses. What religion was it?
No, that's the Jews. That's the Jews. Because Luke 12:1 clearly states, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And the Jewish rabbis clearly admit that their religion is based on the teachings of the Pharisees. So there's still that much hypocrisy, even more hypocrisy, in Judaism today than there was then. Jesus also told them, if you had believed Moses, speaking to these Pharisees, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me. And in Matthew chapter 23, he totally condemns their religion, saying that you have invented your own tradition and you have destroyed the true religion by inventing your own tradition. That's clearly what he tells them. Okay?
And what is the true religion?
The true religion is in the Bible. But the Jews don't practice that religion. They pretend to.
What religion is
don't.
That that's in the Bible?
Well, it's the laws of Moses. They don't follow the laws of Moses.
The laws of Moses is religion?
Of course. Isn't that how you understand the Bible?
That the laws of Moses is Moses brought out the Ten Commandments.
Right. And a lot more. There were more commandments than just 10.
Okay, well, I don't know about all I can speak on is what the Bible speaks of. So
right.
I don't speak on stuff that I don't know, so I'm not going to argue with you on that. But I know the Bible speaks of 10, okay?
Yeah, 10 commandments, right.
Right, which was what the believers in the Old Testament were governed by, right?
Of course.
Okay, so then what are the believers in the New Testament governed by?
They're still governed by the Ten Commandments and
the other laws.
The only laws that were changed were the ritual sacrifices, you know, because there is no more Levitical priesthood and there's no sacrifice of animals for sins.
Uh-huh.
But the all of the commandments are still fully in effect. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments.
Okay.
And he said in the book of Revelation and many other places, we will be judged according to our works.
That's right. That is true.
I
think there's a misunderstanding here somewhere because, you know, the Bible also teaches us that when Jesus Christ was crucified, the Bible tells us that the old law was nailed to the cross with him. Right now,
that's a misconception.
Because if we were saved by the Ten Commandments, and we would still be, we would still an eye for an eye. We'd still be hung. We'd still be all these different things. We are not governed by that, the laws of the Old Testament. We are under grace. We're not under sacrifice, we're under grace. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. So I'm hearing what you're saying, and some of your information is accurate, and a lot of it is not. You know,
assure
so
you, sir,
I'm just telling
scriptural truth and historical truth.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Give me a second. Y'all go ahead and continue your discussion.
Okay, well,
when I come back on, no, sir. When I come back on, I will have my Bible in my hand. I'm in the middle of something right now.
Okay.
I will have my Bible in my hand. I'm going to show you that what you're telling us is wrong.
I'm going to prove to you that I'm right. Because
okay,
I know
exactly
which verse you're talking about. You're talking about Colossians 2:14. And that verse does not say that the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross. It absolutely does not say that.
In order for that to be a testament, that had to be a death of a testator, right?
That's right.
It's the script.
Yeah, but that doesn't abolish.
Under the Ten Commandments, the church had yet to be established, right?
What
so
had yet to be established?
The church.
Okay. The Church of Israel has always existed. You know, it existed when the covenant was made with Jacob.
Israel, sir. We're not in no Church of Israel. Christ declared in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build, not I have built. He said, I will build my church.
Yes.
So
but
in other words,
covenant,
if he's saying, I'm going to build something, it has not come into an existence at the time that he was speaking. He was talking about in future references, and then also you could go back into the Old Testament, into Daniel 2:44, when Nebuchadnezzar's dream was told to him, he was talking about a kingdom that was to come that will consume all other kingdoms that shall stand forever. Also, then you go into the book of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Christ and him being wounded for our transgressions, and he prophesied about the new church that he was going to establish. It had yet to be established. We are not in no Israel, no Church of Israel. That information you're giving is false, sir.
Covenant, it does not say new church. Show me where it says new church.
What was he talking about when he said, I will build my church? He had not built it yet. It had not been established.
Yeah, but it's based on the covenants. It's not based on anything else but the covenants. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 37, it says very clearly that I will make my new covenant with the house of Judah and with the house of Israel, and I will write my laws in their hearts and in their minds. That does not say that the law will be abolished. It will only the form of the practice will change, not the law. And the only part of the law that was removed was the Levitical sacrifices. Now, look historically. Haven't the sacrifices stopped?
Under the old law, sacrifices only rolled your sins forward for a year. Jesus came and he said that we want to be buried in the water of baptism for remission. They are removed. They are no longer rolled into another year. This is the difference. This is what I'm telling you.
We are
not
written into our hearts and minds.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference.
Okay, I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm gonna give you scriptures in just a second. Is Brother Parker still on here?
Yes, I'm still on the line.
Okay.
I'm listening.
And I'm listening to the other minister, Eric, his name, Brother Eric. I'm listening to him. And I'm trying to wonder how he got so confused. We are under the new law. In Acts 16:18, Brother Espich quoted that, upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. In Colossians chapter 2, he came to live the law. Jesus fulfilled the law and nailed it to the cross, thus establishing a new law. Now, if you're going to live under the Old Testament, we would have to kill you tonight. We'd have to take him out there and stone him to death. Ooh, hey, for the stuff that he's talking about. Under the law, you were stoned to death. Even, you know, you're not stoned today. You got grace and mercy, but you got to live right. You, even Paul told us in Galatians, he said, look, you can't be no homemonger, no liar, no adulterer, and no thief, and all this kind of stuff. You couldn't be none of that stuff if you're going to be saved under Christ. But you have mercy under Christ. But if we caught you in a lie tonight, that which we have, we need to take you out before the elders of the city, take you out and stone you to death. You need to be faithful. You're trying to live under the law. You don't want to have nothing to do with the nephew. You're condemning the New Testament and trying to live under the law. You don't know the word of God, Doc. But there are people, look here, let me tell you. Isaiah 9:16, I want you to read that. Isaiah 9:16. The Bible says, for the leaders of these people do cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. It's men like you that's destroying people. And I bet you not out there preaching for no money at all. What is it? You got a good little hustle telling people a whole bunch of foolishness you name they don't understand. But the Bible simply says today to be a member of the church that you read about in the Bible, you have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Hear what? The doctrine of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Now, the church that you in now, Doc, I want you to find it. I want you to find it because the only church for today we can find in the Bible is in Acts chapter 2. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you know that day, Acts chapter 2, on that day in A.D. 33, Acts chapter 2, over 3,000 people were added to the biblical church. Now, I don't know where you are, but you're not there, Doc. And it's a shame that we got thousands of men like you running around here making a hustle out of the Bible and teach people that don't know. Doc, you got a lot to pay for. Come back.
If there's no sin, if the sacrifice on the cross put an end to sin and forgave all our sins, then what's the point of repentance? Why should we repent if there's no more sin?
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If you're
right.
Perfect, then why don't you? You see, you must think that you are perfect. And you got to get rid of your sin today. You got to get rid of your sin in order to make it into heaven.
Of course.
And live
of course.
The life. You got to live the life, Doc. You act like you some kind of saint or something. You same thing I told that young man teaching some of the same doctrine you're doing right now. Teaching that same kind of doctrine. Who are you? Are you Christ? Are you from heaven? You are trying to take Christ's place. You kicking Christ out the way. You talking about the law. Moses. Moses didn't even make it into the promised land. Ooh, wait. He was taken up in the mountain and died, Doc. He couldn't even go in the promised land. Come back.
Hey, at this time, we want to go to our phone line. Do we have any callers with questions or comments on the line, Ms. Estridge?
Hear me?
Caller
Ms.
is 9162. Caller,
can you hear me?
Caller 9162. Do you have any questions or comments?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
I've heard this pastor on the line, you know, he goes, woo, like that. You know, he reads portions of the Bible. He acts like he's sermoning, and he's not bringing other facts of the Bible in. For instance, go into Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it talks about the law. It says, not one dot of tittle of the law will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away first. He forgets about that one. It also states in the Bible.
Hold on, Bob. Wait a minute.
We don't need a sermon now.
Brother Keith, let him finish first. We don't want to get in a shouting match, and then you can respond. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, then you also go to 15, chapter 15 of Matthew, verse 24. It says, I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All right? So that tells you who he came for. Now, I did hear the pastor, Eli James, there, mentioned, you know, who he came for. Also, it states in there, he came, the word man. The man, I looked in my Greek concordance when he said that, and the word man means to blush in the face. I don't know where this other pastor, why he can't read these things that are put forth to him. He wants to give his own ideas and what he thinks it says. That, you know, you got to read it and see what it says. You know, I'm hearing a lot of, this is what I'm saying, my preaching, and this is my doctrine, and this, it's not, it's, that's not what the Bible says, though. You've got to go to the Bible. He's reading parts of the Bible that support his ideology. You know, he says Judeo-Christian. I'm a Christian, but I'm not certainly not a Judeo-Christian. It states in 1 and 2 John that all those who do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh are the Antichrist. Now, you tell me when a Jew over there in Israel believes that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. You know, so God himself flat says those are the Antichrist. You go to Malachi 1. It says that they will build the places in the last days, and he will tear it down. God says they're going to build it like they've done, and he's going to tear it down. So, you know, I've heard a lot of things here where this preacher that's doing all the wooing around did not read all the scriptures. He just given his feeling of what he wants it to say, not what it does say. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, Brother Keith.
Now, what I want him to do, when he made the statement, I want him to finish the scripture that he started. When he said that Jesus said that not one stroke of the pen shall change, he did not finish the scripture, because what he said at the end of that scripture said, until all has been fulfilled. That's what the scripture said. So you are picking bits and pieces of the scripture, changing it. Not us. We're reading the entire scripture. It said, until all has been fulfilled. And in my Bible that I read, that's in the stores that should be in your Bible if you ain't tore it out, when Jesus was hung on that cross and he made the statement, he said, I thirst. The Bible says that if they gave him vinegar to drink, said he said, it is finished. So evidently, you don't know what you're talking about. You better go study some more.
Well, let's just have the discussion and not the inciting comment, because we're not trying to argue amongst ourselves. We're just trying to get the listeners the information, and they can choose for themselves, because I'm probably, out of all you ministers and most of the people that's listening on the radio, as I say, I didn't grow up in church and don't know the Bible from page to page. You know, I call myself the Good Samaritan, and I follow parts of the scripture and understand certain parts of the scriptures. So I'm looking at this and looking to what both of you guys have to say. It is all good information to me. Do we have any other callers on the line that have an opinion or a comment?
Okay. Caller ending in 3074.
Caller 3074? Caller 3074? You have any questions or comments?
Oh, no, it's not. Brother
Parker? The fourth?
I got two
up on tonight. You, Brother Parker the fourth, you must be in a bad area. We're going to come back to you, you know, after the next caller, to hear what you can say and see if your line improves. Can you go to the next caller, please?
Caller ending in 8615.
Hello.
8615.
Hey, Ben,
right,
what's up?
Hey, man. Hey, I'm listening to it, man. A lot of confusion going on. And, you know, I can't, don't know the scripture, but, you know, it says the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one. So it keeps a lot of confusion going on. And this is, you know, evident of some of it. But, you know.
Well, you have any scriptures to back up? Do you have anything to back up? Oh, you can't.
Well,
it's confusion, but you can't.
I don't, what the Bible says that, you know. I don't have a scripture. I'm just because I don't know the scripture right, the place where it's at, that don't mean I don't know what it's saying.
Oh, okay. All right, well, thank you for that comment there, brother. Is Brother Parker line improved yet, Miss Estridge?
Let's go back to Brother Parker.
Yeah.
Brother Parker, before?
No, this is Junior.
All right, go ahead, Brother Parker.
Okay. Listen, what we're talking about. I want to go back to something. I want to give a good example. When you look at Matthew, where this guy came on Matthew chapter 5, when you read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, notice this very carefully. He said, think not, Jesus speaking here, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That means to fill it up. Nobody has ever lived the law. You could not have your sins forgiven under the law. You can only have them taken forward. You could not be forgiven. And when you understand that in the Bible, you know why Christ came, dead and stood on the cross of Calvary, that we can bring him back to
death. Is Brother Parker coming in clear? Because I could barely hear him. Or is it my phone? Say again?
No, sir. No, sir.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, let's go to the next caller and see if they got a question or comment.
Caller ending in 0293.
0293, you have a question or comment?
Oh, yes, yeah, Brother Stanley. This is Brother Brown. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good, Brother Brown. Yeah, you been listening to the show?
Oh, yeah, I've been listening. I just got a question. Brother Paul still online? Is that his name, Brother Paul, or Minister Paul?
Well, he's probably listening, but we're having a hard time hearing him. So go ahead with your question or comment.
Now, I just want to ask him, ask his opinion on 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Well, 7 through 9. I'm sorry. If he was still online, could he read that answer that for me?
Yeah, does it concern what we're talking about, or you just needed him to explain that to you?
Both. Are you talking about it and explain it to me?
Oh, okay. Brother Parker?
Yes. What are you talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1? Verses come back, Brother Brown.
I guess catering to
I wanted Brother Paul, the guy that I was debating with, to explain that to me.
The other preacher. Okay.
Yeah.
Minister Eli, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I've been trying to find out if you can hear me.
Oh, okay. All right, did you hear the caller's question?
Yeah, I didn't hear the verse. Which verse he's referring to?
I think he said Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. Is that what you said,
no,
Brother Brown?
No, 2 Thessalonians 7 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through
9. Okay, well, let me read it here. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Okay? And to me, this says that those who are disobeying the law will be punished. There is no other basis for punishing people except the law. Okay?
And what, we go talking back, about the law of the Bible?
That's right. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, and let's continue reading from verse 17. And, in fact, let me read 17 and a couple more verses. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy. He's not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. He's doing it. That's what he's doing. Verse 18. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Remember, he's talking about the prophecies too, okay? The prophecies, all the prophecies, including the judgment day, must be fulfilled. And verse 19 absolutely nails the fact that the law still is in existence. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, we're talking about the commandments, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you're not practicing the commandments, you cannot be called great. And the mainstream Judeo-Christian churches are all teaching that the law has been done away with. It has not been done away with. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The only part of the law that was changed, as I explained earlier, was the ritual sacrifices, that the law of works, the works that the Levitical priests went about sacrificing animals for the sins of Israel, right? And that part of the law has been abolished, okay? And I wanted to go to 2 Colossians 2:14 to show that that verse does not in any way suggest that the Ten Commandments have been abolished. Because the word there, the word that says handwriting, is a Greek word for a document which a witness signs. In other words, what that handwriting, it's a bad translation. It should say indictment. What was nailed to the cross was the list of sins, the indictment that Israel was guilty of. That's because that's what was forgiven. Their sins were forgiven. The law was not forgiven. Their sins were forgiven.
Right.
Okay? All right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. I understand what you're saying. Go
okay.
ahead, Brother Chief. Brother
yes,
Chief?
Yes, I'm on here. I'm here.
Did you have a comment?
I'm listening to him, and I'm listening to him talking, and he's not, evidently not understanding that Christ came to fulfill the law.
Hold on, because that's one of the scriptures I read myself, and I kind of agree with what he's saying now. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That's your opinion. That's
right.
Your
opinion. So just tell me where I'm wrong. That's all I'm asking you to do.
Hold on, bro. Calm down. If you give me a minute, let me get to my Bible. I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I don't need you to get rough. Calm down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just give me a second.
Brother Parker,
well.
Have you made it back yet?
Yeah, here I am. Let me ask.
Okay, there you go.
Let me ask
Mr.
Eli quickly. Damn it. Let me ask Mr. Eli quickly.
Yes, sir, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Eli, can you be a homosexual or faggot or whatever they call it, punk? Can you be one? Do you believe men can be punks today? Homosexuals today, yes or no?
Paul even says that homosexuals are worthy of death. That's in the New Testament. That's in Romans chapter 2. Or it might be Romans chapter 1. The law has not been abolished.
so I think that's
I don't know if Mr. Keith was hearing me when I quoted Matthew 5, 18, 19, and 20. Those verses clearly state that the law still is in effect.
That was Mr. Parker, so your answer to his question.
Let me ask you this.
Hold on, Brother Keith. I'm trying to answer Minister Parker's question. So in answer to Minister Parker's question about the homosexuals, then I agreed that it shouldn't be any homosexuals according to the law.
What does he say?
Yes.
Let me answer the question. You there? Now, what we're saying here now, open your Bible to Leviticus chapter 20, verses 13, 15, and 16. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 13, 15, and 16. Now, if you say Paul said it, you're talking about the New Testament and the doctrine of Christ. Now, under the law, if a man also lie with mankind as he lied with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with the beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down with therewith, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Listen, you think that you are so slick, Doc, but you go get Paul. See, at first you just wanted Moses and everybody else, but you're going to go get the doctrine that Paul preached, which was the doctrine of the church that Christ established. That's the doctrine that Christ established. Under the law, I probably could catch you, Mr. Eli, lying with the dog. I could bring you to church and baptize you, and you can have that forgiveness. Don't lie with dogs no more. You are under grace and truth. Come back.
I think Minister Eli was agreeing with you on the homosexual thing.
No, sir, he was not. Here's why he wasn't, Doc. He was not agreeing because he went and got Romans chapter 1. Now, there's a lot more in Romans chapter 1 about the doctrine of Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God from faith to faith." See, these guys got some trickery, and they sending a lot of people to hell that will listen to his foolishness.
And
I want to
say
it out in public. I want him to
come
out
under the commandments of Moses.
I want him to come out publicly and debate me. I want him to publicly debate me. I'll set it up. Come out publicly and debate me.
You also proved the point. Also, this is something else. When you start talking about salvation, the remission of your sins, and all of this, that was not in the old world. If you died in your sin, you died a sinner. If those people under the old law didn't have opportunity for salvation until Jesus Christ died, was buried, and went down and said, "For this cause was the gospel preached to them that had died." So what you have to understand, Doc, in order to be saved by grace, you have to be under salvation, which salvation is through Jesus Christ. No man had a right again to the tree of life until after Jesus Christ died, was buried, and resurrected a third time, and arose and said, "I now have all power of heaven." And if he went down, what did he do? He went down and got the keys to hell and death. And the only way that you can be saved is, according to the scriptures, is to do what? Obey the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to the scripture.
saved under the old law. Under the old law, you had no right to the tree of life. Since you want to talk about the old law, go back to the book of Genesis, when God repented himself for making man. God put a flame of cherubims to block the way of the tree of life. And when Jesus came in, he said that, "I came that ye may again have the right to the tree of life." We have the right to the tree of life. It wasn't until the day of Pentecost, A.D. 33, in Jerusalem, according to the prophets, according to what Jesus taught his disciples, when the church was established, when the very first gospel sermon was preached, Acts. You go to Acts chapter 9, and he also told you that there is none other name in heaven or on earth by which a man can be saved. Now, get your facts right. Get your facts right, Doc.
All righty, let's go back to the phone line, see if we can get on Brother Parker.
Okay, would you like Brother Parker?
Brother he Parker was wondering if the and that is 3049. I don't know if he's on. The last
Brother
four
Parker
years is 3049.
3049.
He's not on. Okay.
Okay, you want to go to the next caller, Miss Estridge?
Caller ending in 4414. Caller ending in 4414.
This is Brother Brown, number one.
Number one, what you got?
There you go, Brown. Hello?
Alrighty, well,
caller ending in 4830.
4830, you got a question or comment? Ladies, can you go to the next one, please?
Caller ending in 0293.
Oh, yes, I'm just listening. This is Brother Brown. I'm just listening.
Hey, Brother Brown.
You want to go to the next one, Ms. Hutchins?
Let's go back to, would you like to go back to Mr. Eli?
we can. You have any other comments, Mr. Eli?
Yes, I would like to respond to what Brother Keith just said. Okay?
Oh, go ahead. Sure.
And I want to quote Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to start quoting from verse 24 to 32. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He's talking about Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 25. Now verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Paul is agreeing that homosexuality is against nature and against the law. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or appropriate. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. He's talking about homosexuals here, to do those things which are not convenient or right, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, sounds like our people today, right? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, in the present tense, they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Paul is saying homosexuals are worthy of death, just as the Old Testament says. But the Levitical priesthood is no longer around to institute the stoning to death. Therefore, God is our judge. The law is still in effect, sirs. Thank you. Okay, I only have a couple more minutes, so you know, I'll be around to listen to any response.
Oh, okay. Brother Keith, you want to respond? Brother Keith, you want to respond? Minister Parker, you want to respond?
Yes, I want to respond. Brother Parker wants to respond. Listen, let me take you right back to Roman. See, this is why, Mr. Eli, you are so confused and mixed up, and you are hurting a lot of people. You went to Romans, and I said that, but I got cut off while I was telling you. In Romans chapter 1, I'm glad you went and read it. You're going to accept what Paul said there, then you are accepting the church that was established by Christ Jesus. Go to Romans 1, and I want you to see, I want you to start reading at verse number 14. I am indebted both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Ouch! For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of salvation to those that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul was preaching the gospel. He was there baptizing people into the church that was started in Acts chapter 2. Now, you can't slip and slide around here and think you're so smart. You couldn't be a gay back there then, but you were stoned to death. I told you earlier, Doc, Eli, if I caught you out there, me and two or three other brothers caught you out there, and you were having sex with a female dog, we'd tell you, see, Miss Eli, you shouldn't do that. And we'd preach the gospel to you and give you a chance to obey and have your sin washed away. Now, if you continue to leave them dogs alone, you can make it into heaven. But under the law, if we were still under the law, I'd catch you like I had to go get a man out of jail for having sex with a horse in Third Ward when I was preaching there some years back. If I caught you out there with a dog, Mr. Eli, having sex with that dog, then me and the brothers would have to take you before the elders of the city that we're in, and we'd take you out there and stone you to death. But you under the law. You went, look here, Paul was preaching the gospel in the book of Romans. The gospel was there, and they had to obey the gospel. They had Greeks and homosexuals in Rome at that time. There were homosexuals in Rome. Paul said, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. You got to listen, Mr. Eli. You're going to have to learn. I want to debate you publicly, Mr. Eli.
All right.
Brother Stanley, I want to debate Mr. Eli publicly. I'll choose the place. I want him publicly. I don't want him hiding behind no telephone or behind no computer. I want him out there publicly.
Well, I get with him and see if he want to debate you publicly, but overall I thought it was a good discussion. Gave me a lot of information. I learned a lot. I thought most of the time you both were saying the same thing, but I guess that's just somebody coming from somebody that's not as deep in the word as both of you are. So I thought you guys were saying the same thing. Obviously to both of you, you were saying something different. But Minister Eli, you still with us?
I only have a few more minutes. I would just like to ask, I'm not sure, was it Minister Keith that just spoke? Or was it?
That was Minister Parker.
Parker, okay. So I agree that Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ, but in verse 32 he says of all these people that he just listed and the abominations that they practice, he says that they are worthy of death. Is verse 32 not part of the gospel? Hello?
Minister Parker
said when he went to Rome, they had homosexuals or faggots or whatever you want to call them in Rome at that time. Paul told them at first, listen, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel of Christ. See, you can't be a homosexual and go to heaven now. Paul said that they're worthy of death, but he couldn't kill them. And neither could the Roman soldiers or nobody else kill them. They couldn't do it because the law of Christ had been established. He said that they're worthy of it. Not only those that are out there humping each other and having sex with each other, but also if you believe it was all right, you should be killed too. Not only the ones doing the homosexual acts, but the people who thought it was all right. We got too many young people running around and like that. I think it's all right. That's their business. They can't do what they want to do in society like that. That's why our society is so messed up now. Two reasons. We got people out there thinking anything is all right. And men like you, Mr. Eli, out there helping them go to hell. You helping them go to hell. And I want to debate you publicly. I'll get the place and everything for you. And I talk to the brother and see if they'll pay your gas to come down. Because people like you, mouths need to be shut up.
All righty. Okay. Well, we want to thank Minister Eli for coming on the show and giving us a spiritual discussion, and we want to thank Brother Parker. I think Minister Eli has to. You want to tell the listeners where they can listen to your show at, Minister
right,
Eli?
Okay. Yeah, my show. First, let me direct people to my website, which is www.anglo-saxonisrael.com. And in that website, I document the fact that the Caucasian people are, in fact, the Israelites of the Bible. It goes back to the days of Solomon, when the house of Israel and the house of Judah were broken up into two houses. They were taken into captivity by the Assyrians, placed in Media, crossed the Caucasus Mountains, and became known as the Caucasian people. They are Israelites. I am an Israelite. Now, that's the major thrust of my website. And I have a slideshow called the Migration Chronicles, which documents all the scripture and the history, including the fact that my ancestors, the Caucasian Israelites, wandered through Europe in covered wagons, just like our pioneers did, okay? So anyway, but I just want to make one more comment here. I am not in any way denying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul teaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'm disagreeing with Brother Parker about is he seems to believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ does not include the law. I say it does include the law because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. Now, that's a major disagreement. I'm saying that he does not understand the gospel if he believes that the law has been abolished. Okay? That's what I'm saying. All right.
Okay, well, thank you for your time. Okay. We'll make sure we post your website to StanleySpeaksOut.com.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Okay.
All right, you're welcome. Brother Parker?
I still say I want to debate him publicly. He's taking things and twisting them the way he wants them to go. Now, where was Jesus doing the law? Where was Jesus doing the law? Huh? Now, he's going to sit up there and tell me, keep my commandments. The law was written, the Father, Moses, went into the mountain and wrote the law. You saw the about Pharaoh and all. He came down from the mountain. They were calling and had other so-called gods, small G-O-D. He's come up with all of this confusion. He's trying to make like you're still living under the law. No, you're not, because under the law, he would probably be dead right now under the law. And I don't know where in the ham sandwich you get the fact that Caucasians are Jews. He got to be nuts if he think Caucasian. And he got Jewish ancestors. There were Caucasians were the people who cohabitated with the beast in the Caucasus Mountains and got themselves back to some kind of color and everything because they cohabitated. The last white ape, I say it again, was killed in 1981 in the Black Forest of Germany. And you ask any white person with some sense, they're going to tell you, no, we're not Jews because they don't you don't have the blood. Because the best blood, the race that has the best blood are black people. Our blood is in great demand. But ever since they got this, these diseases out here that you can spread and everything, that they got the AIDS and all that, they have to be more careful now. But when I was growing up, I wanted to know this. The winos in the black communities all over this country, they didn't have to work a job because I know that the people wanted blood came from the hospitals, and down here in Galveston County, they paid them $25 a week to get blood from them. And they were drinking that wine. They had plenty of blood every week. The best blood. Black folks have the number one blood in this country. Way back in the 15th century, when what they called the Black Plague in Europe, that syphilis was killing the whole nation. They went to Africa and got some Africans and brought them back to intermarry with the white people to save the Caucasian race. Now, you come on talk to me, man. You come on debate me. Come back.
All right. We got a good Brother Parker the Fourth. How you doing, Brother Parker the Fourth? Can you hear me? Hello? Keith?
We have Brother Eskridge on the line. Brother Eskridge?
Yes, I'm here. Hello?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. I just want to say this, and I'm not going to go back into a big debate tonight. I'm going to deal with this on Thursday night.
Thursday.
I do want you to know this. When he's talking about the Anglo-Saxon and the white people, even if you read the Bible, and we're going to deal with this on Thursday night so I can prove it, and I hope that he will tune in on Thursday night also, but white people came because of a leprosy. And I'm going
Amen.
To prove that with Scripture. If white people were not original people, or where these people, where everything began, were all people of color, the white people were not Jews. The white color came from a leprosy, according to the Scriptures. And I'm going to
Amen.
Prove that on Thursday night, and I'm also going to prove that the gospel is right on Thursday night. So tune in on Thursday night, y'all, where we can hear the truth. And I want him to be there. I'd really like for him to be there so they can't say that he didn't have a chance to prove his point. I would like for him to call in on Thursday because we're definitely going to prove our point. Amen.
Yes, sir. I'll make sure I pass that on. All right. Today's sponsor of the show is Real Associate and Class Act Photography. If you're looking for a house or looking for a good wedding photographer, go to Stanley Speaks Out, and all the information is there. And is there anybody else that have a question or comment about anything that happened tonight? I thought overall it was a pretty good discussion. Absolutely love the back and forth, but that's just me.
Caller
Brother
Indian Parker. 86, Brother Parker.
Brother Parker, you calm down?
Which one? Yes, I'm calm down now. I'm calm down. I love it. I want to meet Mr. Eli and have a debate with him out in the public. We do that on our radio broadcast, and we've had a couple of debates here in the last year, and I'd like to have this debate, and we'll get a place for him and everything. And
was you able
to
get in contact with that young lady?
Huh? No, not yet. I'll call her when we get off or whatever. Oh, are we getting off now? I tried to call her, but she left a message on her phone line.
Oh, no, we'll set it up.
Yeah, we got to set that up, and then she might get with you to cut a tape for me for the radio broadcast, okay?
Oh, okay.
But I appreciate it, Brother Eli, but he just brought all the good out in me, man. I feel good. I'm just sorry that we got a lot of that kind of stuff going on throughout the world, you know, and they did the same thing when Jesus came. men have always rejected Christ because that's the sin nature of man. All of us have sin nature. That's what we have to kill, Doc. Look, you and I both, we got sin nature, and we have to keep it dead in us. The nature of human beings is sin. So when they tell them how to live right and do right, you know, I'm looking at this picture. It's off now. They got the dancing program on. And you ought to see what this girl got on, swinging her butt everywhere. You know, I got to turn off that station, man. I can't sit up and look at all of that and be calm. I got to learn to, hey, watch what I'm, look out what I'm watching. Even the guys out there drinking and going, he stop that because you become another person. Satan is always entering into mankind through the sin nature. Through his sin nature.
Yeah, I'll deal with that tomorrow.
Brother Keith?
Hello?
Yes, sir. You have something to say?
Oh, no. I'd just like to thank all the listeners for tuning in to Stanley Speaks Out. Hope you enjoyed the show. And hope you all will be there same time Thursday night for the Gospel Hotline.
Yes, sir. And I want to thank my producer, Ms. Estridge. She did a heck of a job. And I want to thank Brother Brown for producing the show also on Thursday and Sunday, and all the listeners and all the people that help out. And thank Brother Parker for his wisdom and his spiritual debate.
Oh, let me add this.
Combination of
this, Stanley.
To have. And here at Stanley Speaks Out, that's what we're here for, to bring different opinions and different beliefs and have a discussion on it and allow the listeners to form their own opinion. Go ahead, Minister Keith.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Doc. But I also want to say this to all the listeners, let them know there's been a personnel change at the Gospel Hotline Online. Brother Stanley has handed his reins to Brother Parker Jr. So,
boy, y'all going to be in so much trouble.
What's going to be in trouble about?
They're going to be in trouble because, see, they can get stuff past me there, Brother Parker. But they ain't going to be able to get that stuff past you.
It's going to be all right, Doc. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful, Matt.
Oh, yeah. You ain't got to worry about me cutting your mic no more, huh?
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Alrighty,
and we
just try to get.
I do want to thank Brother Stanley for sponsoring the show on Thursday nights and for filling in as the co-host until we got Brother Parker. We tried to get him to stay, but he ain't want to stay. So, but he will still continue to be on our guest host panel. So we do appreciate that. So y'all get ready. Brother Stanley already says that we double teamed everybody as ministers. So, y'all get ready.
Yeah, got a gang of tree. I guess the third rim couldn't get through because of his phone, but he was trying to get in there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, but overall, it's a good show. We'll set up more debate on different topics and all that good stuff. If anybody don't have anything else, I guess we're in the show, and I'll start getting that stuff posted to the website.
All righty.
All right.
Amen.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.